This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, there was only one time in the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that an eclipse took place. And this eclipse, it took place when our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was around 61 years old. And it coincided with one of the most tragic events in the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we learn that at the age of around 60, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed to become a father for one more time. And realize that at this age, at the age of 60, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already lost almost everybody who was near and dear to him. His mother, his father, his grandfather, his uncle Abu Talib, his wife Khadija, who was his confidant and the one who really supported him. His two sons and his three daughters, one after the other. He only had one beloved left, and that is Fatima. There was no other immediate family member, and none of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ blessed him with a child other than Khadija. Then when he reached the age of 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him to have another son, another child. And this was through Maria al-Qibtiyya. And Maria al-Qibtiyya gave birth to Ibrahim. Our Prophet ﷺ, as is reported in Sahih Bukhari, that the Sahaba said, one day the Prophet ﷺ came and his face was shining bright. His face was beaming. And he said, Allah bless me with a child last night, and I shall name him after my father Ibrahim. And they would see Ibrahim with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would take him to the masjid, and they saw the happiness in his face that they had not seen, because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not played with a child for his own child for many decades before this. All of the other children, as I said, already passed away. He had buried his own daughters Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, and asked for in Mecca. He had at least one, maybe two sons. We're not sure whether there were two sons or one son for sure. Al-Qasim, and maybe another was there as well. And three daughters, all of them have passed away. Now he has Ibrahim. And lo and behold, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed that Ibrahim is not going to live. And of course, this was the qadr of Allah from before. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَى أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. This ayah had come down in Ahzab. 3 years ago, it had already come down. Allah has said, you are not going to be the father of any man. So no boy could live to be a man, or else this ayah would be proven wrong. So Allah willed that the Prophet be tested one more time. He enjoyed the fatherhood. Ibrahim lived for a year and a half. And all of us who are parents, we know that this is the sweetest age. This is the most tender age, where the child is crawling and walking and climbing on you, and the child has the utmost love and joy. This is the pinnacle of the love that the parent has for the child. It reaches that tenderness at the age of a year and a half. And then at that age, Ibrahim fell sick. And again in Sahih Bukhari, we learn our Prophet ﷺ brought Ibrahim to the masjid, and he was wheezing and coughing, and you could tell that the child was on the throes of death, that he was wheezing and coughing. And can you imagine the pain? And the Sahaba, they saw the Prophet him cry as he's holding his son Ibrahim in his hands, and Ibrahim is wheezing his last, and our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that he's about to pass away, and he says, inna ala firaqika ya Ibrahim wal mahzunun. Verily Ibrahim, at your death we are very grieved, we're very sad that you're about to die. And when Ibrahim passed away, then our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, inna lillahi ma ata wa lillahi ma akhadh, that to Allah belongs everything. He has the right to take, he has the right to give, and we will not say anything except what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in utter grief. Can you imagine, at the age of 61 now, and now his last child other than Fatima has been taken away. Allah tested him so many times. And the Prophet ﷺ rarely cried in public. You can count the number of times on one hand that he cried in public. You can count on the number of times on one hand he cried in public. Of them, when he's visiting his mother's grave, And this is now at the death of Ibrahim. And this is perhaps the only time in public he is crying in front of all of the Sahaba that they are there in the masjid. And the whole Sahaba are overwhelmed with grief because they love the Prophet ﷺ so much. His grief is their grief. His pain is their pain. His suffering is their suffering. And as he is grieving and the Sahaba are grieving, lo and behold, Allah willed that at that time, the only time in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sun eclipsed. Not even the moon, the sun. It was a full solar eclipse. A full solar eclipse. There is nothing more magnificent, more spectacular than the covering of the sun in the middle of the day. And right when the Sahaba are crying, and the Prophet is crying, the sun itself has become shaded. And of course, the rumor spread. How could they not spread? When all of Medina is crying, then why shouldn't the rumor spread that even the skies are sad at the death of Ibrahim? Even the sun is crying. Even the celestial objects are showing their huzn, their grief at the death of the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The world and all that is in it is sad with the sadness of the Prophet. Why shouldn't they believe this? It's common sense to believe. But our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the day his son died, cannot but teach tawheed. He cannot but preach Islam. We don't believe in superstitions. We are not a people that believe in bizarre rituals and mythologies. No. We are people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the day he buries his son, he's barely come back from the graveyard and he calls all of the people to the masjid. A crier is sent, as-salatu jami'ah, as-salatu jami'ah, come. This is what you say when you want people to come to the masjid and you don't give adhan. Adhan is only given for the 5 salawat. For other than the 5 salawat, when they have to come, you say, as-salatu jami'ah. So as-salatu jami'ah, everybody comes. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then led them in a long salah, a long prayer. And as Aisha and others said, it was as if he recited all of Qadr al-Baqarah, the size of Surah al-Baqarah, and he did not finish until the eclipse itself disappeared. And as I said, this is indeed the sunnah, but it is difficult for us in this land and when we have work tomorrow to follow that sunnah. And of course, by the way, the salah and the khutbah is sunnah. It is not wajib. It is good to attend and it is sunnah and it is not something that is wajib. So he prayed as long as the eclipse was in session. Then when the eclipse finished, then he stood up and he gave a khutbah. And in that khutbah, he said that beautiful phrase, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَانِ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَا يَنْكَسِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِهِ. The sun and the moon are of the miracles of Allah. They are the creation of Allah. Their eclipse is independent of the death and the life of anybody on this earth. And I have said before and I will say it again, this one incident, wallahi, is one of the most powerful incidents that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a true prophet. As-sadiqul amin. As-sadiqul amin. Had he, astaghfirullah, or anybody been a false prophet, had any person in his shoes who was a false prophet, this happens to him. What a amazing story. What an amazing mythology to extract, to concoct. Let the people speak. It's not even as if he was spreading the rumor. It's not even as if he was saying, look, even the skies are crying because I am sad. No, he had to speak the truth. As-sadiq al-amin. As-sadiq al-masduq. He has to say the truth. So he calls the people and he says, the eclipse has nothing to do with the life and death of anybody in this world. These are of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the sun or the moon eclipses, then صَلُّوا وَكَبِّرُوا وَصَدِّقُوا صَدَّقُوا That تَصَدَّقُوا That pray and say takbir and give charity until the eclipse goes away. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during that salah, it was a very emotional time because realize, brothers and sisters, that before we had the advent of modern science, nobody knew when an eclipse was coming. And to see the eclipse, people did not understand what is going on. And they felt this is the impending doom. They felt something evil is about to happen. They felt the punishment of Allah. They felt it might be the day of judgment. coming close. And this fear that struck all of humanity, there's nothing wrong with this fear, because this fear connects you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you become cognizant of your own mortality, of your own sins, of your own, if you like, minuscule existence in front of the majesty and grandeur of Allah's creation. So even the Sahaba, they were indeed terrified. And there's nothing wrong with that terror, because it is linked with Allah and the punishment of Allah. And our Prophet ﷺ said, when you have this fear, when you have this terror, then stand up in salah, say dhikr, make dua, give charity. These things, they are the things that cleanse your sins away. They are the ones that calm down. They are the ones that remove the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that salah, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took a step back and he took a step forward. And he explained later on that while I was praying, Allah showed me heaven and hell. He showed me Jannah and Jahannam. So when I saw Jannah, I took a step forward, wanting to pluck the grapes from Jannah. And if I had plucked those grapes, then one bunch of grapes would have fed you all until the day of judgment. If I wanted to, I could bring it here, and then you would have had food until the day of judgment. One bunch would have fed all of you until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then before he could do that, Qadr Allah, Allah willed of course that these grapes should not be here, that's for the next life. Then before he could do that, Jahannam was presented, and our Prophet went back, because he could feel or he could see the Jahannam. So he took a step back. And in that khutbah, he said to the Sahaba, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ If you know what I know, لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا You would laugh very little and you would weep very much. And when he said this, the Sahaba, they began weeping, the entire masjid, so much so that the masjid was overcome with sobs, so much so that the Sahaba to cover their mouths and their faces in their cloaks and their garments out of the sobbing, because they could see there was a very emotional day that day. The Prophet ﷺ has lost his son. Now he leads them in a salah 2-3 hours. Can you imagine his qira'ah, how they must have been moved? He himself is seeing Jannah and Jahannam. Then he gives a powerful khutbah. So that day was imprinted in the memory of the Sahaba. And this is the only time the eclipse happened. From this, our scholars have derived that there's something called Salatul Kusuf and Salatul Khusuf with a kaf and a kha. Salatul Kusuf is for when the sun eclipses, Salatul Khusuf when the moon eclipses, and they are prayed in the same manner, except of course the Kusuf is in the daytime and Khusuf is at night. And my dear brothers and sisters, unfortunately, one of the problems of modern science, and this is a problem, is that modern science unfortunately has caused many of us to lose the awe that we should have when it comes to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact of the matter is that even if we know there's going to be an eclipse, and even if we have 100,000 pictures, and even if we can see it on YouTube and on our iPhones, and we know exactly when it will begin and end, this does not take away from the majesty, from the beauty, from the splendor, from the absolute amazement of this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, the sun and the moon are of the most miraculous creations of Allah. وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ Allah says, the sun and the moon have been placed in order. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ Of His miracles is the night and the day and the sun and the moon. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, to think about it, it is mind-boggling. These massive objects, this ball of fire and gas and helium hurtling through space at tens of thousands of kilometers an hour. Tens of thousands. And it is going on its own axis. And around it are going so many planets. And around the planets are going so many moons. And yet, their coordination is so precise that we do not time the eclipses. We do not time the sun and the moon. Time comes from the movement of the sun and the moon. Think about it. Our time comes from the precision of the movements of the sun and the moon. Where do we get the 24 hours? Where do we get the day? Where do we get the night? Where do we get our seconds? Our time is based upon the precision of these massive objects hurtling through space. And that's what Allah says, وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ The sun and the moon, they are in a precise orbit. كُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ لَالشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَنْ تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرُ وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارُ The sun is not going to overtake the moon, nor will the day come before the night. Each one is in its own orbit. Who has the power to control these magnificent, huge creations? Who has the power to coordinate these structures such that we know exactly the timing of them and we extract our day and our month and our year from the precision of their movements? Wallahi, that is indeed Al-Khaliq, Al-Alim, Al-Qadir, ala kulli shay'in qadir. These creations around us, they should bring us in awe. How impunity, how insignificant we are, how puny we are in comparison to the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, look around you. Look around you. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. We will show them the miracles all around them and inside of themselves. These are the miracles around us, brothers and sisters. And the fact that we understand it should not diminish, should not eliminate the awe and the respect that we should have for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, this is a time of introspection, of thinking about the purpose of creation. I conclude with the simple ayah that Allah Azza wa Jal reminds us in Surah Ali Imran, that the purpose of all of these beautiful signs around us, الَّذِينَ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We look and we contemplate about the creation of the heavens and earth. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Your Lord, our Lord, you haven't created all of this for no reason. What is the purpose of this majestic creation? What is the purpose of everything around us? All of it is so that we know that Allah is true, His signs are true, the Quran is true, His speech is true, Day of Judgment is true, Heaven and Hell is true, and therefore Al-Mawta wal-Hayah as well is true. Brothers and sisters, it is a time to think about the purpose of life, to think about how insignificant we are in the grand scale of things, to think about the fact these creation have been here for millennia and they shall continue to be for millennia. We are the ones, our short lifespan, barely. It is said the next time this type of eclipse will occur will be in around 30 years. Who amongst us will be here? Last time it occurred in the early 80s, then it will occur again in 30 years. Goes on. We are the ones, fleeting lifespan. Let us take advantage. We can make our lives eternal in the eyes of Allah if we take advantage of them. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the Ummah is going through much difficulty and trial as we know. Let us make sure that we are thankful for what we have, that we're generous to those who don't have. Let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. O Allah, as you have gathered us here today in this masjid of yours, O Allah, gather us together on the Day of Judgment under your shade. O Allah, shelter us under your shade when there is no shade other than your shade. O Allah, bless us to drink from the fountain of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when there is no water other than his water. O Allah, make our scales heavy on the Day of Judgment. O Allah, magnify our good deeds. O Allah, absolve and eliminate our sins. O Allah, cause us to be of those whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercedes for. O Allah, cause us to enter Jannah without any accounting, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. O Allah, cause us to be of the first batches and the first flock who enter Jannah. O Allah, bless us to be in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, raise our ranks, forgive our sins, and grant us the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded all of us with the command that He began with Himself, and then He told the angels to do. Allah azza wa jalla says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.